Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Snug little shanty, and roofed it and floored it with pine. I had a bronco, a buckskin, like a bird he flew over the trail. When I rode him out 40 miles every Friday.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Hartley Carnes. Surf's up already along Padre and South Padre Island, Texas. People from Brownsville to Corpus Christi are making ready for Hurricane Dolly.
It looks like it will remain a Category 1 hurricane, but a stronger Category 1 hurricane. It's not impossible this could be an 80 to a 90 mile per hour hurricane before it reaches the shoreline tomorrow.
Joel Brown is a reporter on South Padre Island, south of Corpus.
15 to 20 inches of rain, a possible storm surge of 4 to 6 feet. That concerns folks around here.
For the most part, the Hurricane Center says Dolly will be a big-time rainmaker. Seven members of Congress were on Continental Flight 458 today. Had to be exciting.
They were en route from Houston to Washington and lost pressure. The aircraft diverted to New Orleans and landed there safely.
FAA spokesman Roland Herwig says oxygen masks were deployed. No injuries reported so far. Democrat Barack Obama, after his trip to Iraq, says security has improved, but he would still vote to oppose the troop surge, widely credited with those security improvements.
Under my proposal, you'd still have U.S. forces with a capable counterterrorism operation in the region. You would still be training Iraqi security forces. We'd still be providing logistical support.
Republican John McCain also talked to Katie Couric for tonight's CBS Evening News.
My greatest concern is that we announce a date for withdrawal, which would have had devastating consequences if we had done it when Senator Obama wanted it done, and we lose all the hard-won gains that we achieved at the great sacrifice of American blood and treasure.
There is a silver lining, turns out, of high fuel prices.
Deaths from traffic crashes are down so far this year, down by about 9%, according to the National Safety Council's John Olcheski.
If indeed the economy is in a recession and we have lower economic activity,
including less driving, thus less danger. The high price of gasoline believed to be the main reason. Still, on an average day, about 100 people in America die in road crashes. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
A government report helps arm those on Capitol Hill who hope to stop a Democratic effort to put clamps on oil speculators.
The federal agency that oversees commodity trading put together this task force of experts from other parts of the administration. They concluded the historic run-up in oil prices is driven by supply and demand. They find that though speculation in the oil markets has increased dramatically, there's no evidence that pushed up the price. A number of outside economists and oil experts have blamed speculators, saying they could account for up to half the huge price run-up.
CBS's Bob Fuss. Oil today came down more than $3 a barrel to $128 and change. New York Yankees have made a PR embarrassment go away. They weren't allowing people to bring sunblock in with them for security reasons over the weekend, but they'd sell you a one-ounce container inside for $5. Yanks changed their mind on that one today. Wall Street, the Dow gained 135, NASDAQ up 24. This is CBS News.
When someone comes in our store with that look in their eye, that I have an idea but I need help look, for me, that's what Sherwin-Williams is all about. That's why I'm here.
Our experts can help bring your ideas to life with incredible colors, the finest paints and stains, and advice you won't find anywhere else. And now, save $7 a gallon on a wide variety of our exceptional paints and stains. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to FreeCreditReport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in T-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
a wildlife rescue on the Washington Interstate.
Taking a stroll along Interstate 90 during drive time was not a wise thing to do for a slow-moving porcupine. Managing to avoid the tires of hundreds of vehicles, the creature made it to the other side of the highway only to be stopped by a concrete barrier. State trooper on the scene, Mark Baker, says that's one lucky porcupine.
In fact, he had to go across the interstate twice. He would have had to cross the south and north and then turn around and come back.
To the rescue came a state highway worker with a long-handled shovel who provided the final boost to freedom. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
Three people who live on the island of Lesbos went to court to ask a judge to tell the world to stop using the word lesbian. Lesbos is the birthplace of the ancient poet Sappho, whose love poems to other women inspired the term lesbian. The Lesbos resident said the term besmirches the good names of the people who live there. The judge said essentially no, doesn't define you, and besides, it's too late. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Sales rep to women's wear.
In the mall for hours, you're sitting with the bags, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and your wife has 12 more outfits to try on.
I should have used...
Wait, you already know you should have used Preparation H. But for extra relief, use Preparation H medicated wipes first. Unlike most ordinary wipes that just clean, Preparation H medicated wipes relieve while you clean. Then apply your Preparation H.
I think I'm going to try the other one on again.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H medicated wipes.
From Preparation H, the relief expert. Use as directed.
For this summer's ultimate fun on the water experience, you need to get into a Sea-Doo personal watercrafter sport boat. For a very limited time, you can get no money down, no interest, and no payments until next season. Plus a gas card valued up to $2,000 based on model or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry in to your local Sea-Doo dealer today for details. Sea-Doo, the good life just got better. Offer ends 8/21/08, subject to credit approval restrictions apply. See dealer for details or visit seadoo.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We launch another fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Thank you for listening, and thanks for your support. Lots to talk about today. Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman, she served 4 terms from New York. She'll be with us in a moment to talk about impeachment of President Bush. Later this hour, the real impact of a recent Supreme Court decision stripping back the damages that Exxon has to pay for the Valdez oil spill up in Alaska a few years back. Osa Schultz and Travis Volsoff from Prince William Sound will be joining us to talk about it. Also on today's program, Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan will join us. He's an expert on Iraq and the Middle East and speaks Arabic, too. Great pronunciations of all the local names and terms. We're going to get his take on the Maliki invitation to exit, Obama's visit to that part of the world, and the repeated allegation that the surge is working. Also on today's program, investigative journalist Jason Leopold. He's been digging into this Resolution 362, which is circulating through the House of Representatives, which calls for, ultimately, a naval blockade of Iran, which is an act of war. We're very concerned about that. Jason's done some great reporting, and notably, Congressman Robert Wexler of Florida has modified his position on this resolution. We'll open up the phones in the free speech zone, and we'll talk about progressive talk radio with Aldous Tyler. He's the guy who's helped save and extend the life of progressive talk in many cities around the country. And he is sponsoring a symposium in Madison, Wisconsin, the weekend of August 1st. And if you can get to Madison, we'll give you free admission. I've got 5 scholarships for the Nonstop Radio Symposium, and Aldous will help you understand that a little bit later on in the program today. At any time, you can call in toll-free. My number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And you can email me 24/7. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. This is Impeachment Week on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah.
the corporate media has barely acknowledged that Denis Kucinich has sponsored now 36 articles of impeachment. One of them will be presented before the House Judiciary Committee this Friday. And between now and then, we'll be talking with Congressman Kucinich. He'll be on the show with us tomorrow, Wednesday. On Thursday, Maurice Hinchey, who is a Democratic congressman from New York State. And as far as I know, I don't know his position on impeachment, so we're going to ask him and try to persuade him. We're also going to talk to Bruce Fine, a principled Republican who, to his discredit, was part of the Ken Starr impeachment team. And to his enduring credit, he supports the impeachment of a Republican. And Bruce Fine is a Republican. He will also be making a presentation on Friday before the House Judiciary Committee. And among those invited is Representative Elizabeth Holtzman. She served four terms as a Democrat from the New York area, and she served with distinction on the House Judiciary Committee and drew some note during the Watergate scandal. She has been an advocate of impeachment of Bush for at least 2 years, and I'm glad to have her back on the program today. Congresswoman, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Peter. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
Well, and as you can tell, I'm kind of fully behind this effort. I believe it's important. I believe that Mr. Kucinich has stood in a courageous manner to hold the current crop of elected officials accountable. And it's quite a disappointment and embarrassment the way the Democratic leadership has responded to this. And so we have a form of impeachment light, or it's kind of a faux process that we see unfolding on Friday. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts about participating in this process, because it appears to have strict limits imposed by the Speaker and by Chairman Conyers.
Well, I don't know about the limits. I know that I'll be able to testify, and I'm very proud to be asked to testify. The House Judiciary Committee has a very important role in our country's democracy, having voted for the impeachment of Richard Nixon and having had that impeachment vote be as fair and as respected as it was, it resulted in President Nixon's resigning his office. So that's a historic role that that committee played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this hearing should have taken place a year and a half ago.
At least.
When the, yes, if not before, when the Republicans controlled the Congress, but certainly when the Democrats took over. But it's better late than never, and I think this is an important opportunity at least to educate the American people to the fact that, number one, the actions of President Bush and Vice President Cheney constitute impeachable offenses, that the Congress has the power to act, and that a record has to be made, because even if Congress feels that it's too late to do anything, if Congress does nothing about Bush and Cheney, then the message will be that presidents can violate the law, violate the Constitution with impunity, and nothing will happen. And so maybe not the next president, but somewhere down the line, another president is going to engage in serious misconduct, and that's going to be a problem.
Nice ringtone.
Yeah, guess so.
I share your concern, and I fully agree that I'm not so, how can I put it, I'd love to see impeachment take its own course and go to full term, but I am most interested in an accounting of the wrongdoings and some process that could ultimately hold accountable those who intentionally violated an oath of office or broke American statutes.
Well, I think there are many ways in which accountability can take place, but to me, what the main and most appropriate form is impeachment, because that's what the framers had in mind. When you have a president who systematically and seriously abuses the powers of his office, as President Bush has done, there are other things that could come into play. And if nothing else, Congress needs to record, and there needs to be a full record made of the violations of law and the abuses of this administration. That full record probably won't happen in this administration, but could very well happen in the next.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, there's also criminal prosecution. That's not the same as impeachment, because impeachment is a remedy for violation of the Constitution, and that's what happened here. Prosecution is a remedy for violation of a specific criminal statute.
Mm-hmm.
And the Congress is responsible for vindicating the Constitution, protecting the Constitution. Single prosecutors are responsible for upholding the law. But, you know, the critical thing to remember about the laws here is that there's an anti-torture statute that makes it a crime to engage in torture overseas outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a death penalty if death results from violation of that statute from torture. And the consequence is that there's no statute of, that means that there's no statute of limitations. So
right.
20 years from now, if the evidence became clear, if there were a prosecutor, a federal prosecutor, or the Justice Department decided that the evidence were clear that President Bush and Vice President Cheney authorized or engaged in torture of detainees abroad, they could be prosecuted for violation of the law.
And
so what
Holtzman,
I'm saying is that this is, you know, they have something hanging over their heads for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ms. Holtzman, you served as district attorney there in Kings County, that's the Brooklyn area, after
right.
you served in Congress.
Right.
Are you impressed at all by Vince Bugliosi's case in his book?
I haven't read the book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how a local prosecutor would have jurisdiction. I do know that you have at least one federal criminal statute that may well have been violated here.
Mm-hmm.
British Parliament just issued a report saying that they could no longer rely on the American disclaimers of torture since the administration has acknowledged that it engaged in waterboarding, which they consider to be torture.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian government has said the same thing. So, I mean, torture is a crime, and a U.S. crime,
mm-hmm.
and there's no statute of limitations when death results, so both President Bush and Vice President Cheney, if they authorized waterboarding, and it seems as though they've acknowledged that they have,
mm-hmm.
and that it took place, they could be prosecuted, or they would have the threat of prosecution hanging over them for the rest of their lives by a federal prosecutor.
Yeah.
I don't know that a state prosecutor, I haven't read his book, and
mm-hmm.
I just don't know how a state prosecutor would have jurisdiction.
Understood. Elizabeth Holtzman is with us today, and as we mentioned, she served in Congress and was front and center there for the impeachment hearings on Richard Nixon. They led to his resignation. And, Ms. Holtzman, what do you intend to offer in testimony to the Judiciary Committee this Friday?
That they can't do nothing. They can't just walk away from this.
Mm-hmm.
That if they do that, then there'll be a terrible message to future presidents that you can commit huge violations of the Constitution, of the laws of the United States. You can thumb your nose at Congress. You can thumb your nose at the liberties of Americans. You can take this country into a war on the basis of lies and deceptions, and there'll be no price to pay. And if that's the message, then God help us. Because future presidents are going to take heart from that. And
mm-hmm.
presidents like to use their powers and don't like to give it up. That's why the framers created a system of checks and balances. Congress is supposed to be a check. Congress can't lie down and play possum here. Congress has to act. It took an oath of office. Members of
Indeed.
Congress take an oath to uphold the Constitution, so
yes.
they have their responsibility.
We're going to take a break and return. Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman served in the House for 4 terms, 8 years, and will be testifying before the Judiciary Committee regarding the impeachment of George W. Bush this Friday. If you have a question or comment, now's the time. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Our convention, Miami and LA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
A campaign across the USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate. And Martha Mitchell says,
When Watergate broke, I was a very young talk show host in Chicago, and I'm always grateful to Richard Nixon for taking my show to number one in the ratings. Elizabeth Holtzman was one of the youngest elected members of Congress, serving on the House Judiciary Committee during the Nixon impeachment era. And Ms. Holtzman, it struck me something that you said just before the break, that you plan to tell the Judiciary Committee this Friday that they cannot do nothing. And
And this is Congress has been labeled a do-nothing Congress, and I have often hoped that on critical issues they would have done nothing, like the FISA law, which was a product of impeachment. The Speaker had the chance to just say, this is going in my Gucci bag and it's not coming back. And yet she said, we can't do nothing. She said that on the House floor on the day that she led the vote of the cave-in. And likewise, on the continuing funding for the occupation of Iraq, the House had the choice to do nothing, to not forward an appropriation bill, yet they chose to take that action. And so on matters where they did have an option to do nothing, they chose to do something. And here I agree with you that they do not have the luxury of saying, oh, impeachment is a political choice that we decline. And so I'm curious about your thoughts on that contrast.
Well, I mean, I find it completely puzzling that Congress has failed to act before, and that it's been as, in a way, as non-aggressive as it could have been in terms of trying to document the misdeeds of this administration. I know they've been stonewalled by the administration, but the Congress hasn't used the powers of its inherent powers. For example, Karl Rove refuses to show up. They refer this to the Joshua Bolton refuses to show up in response to a subpoena, Harriet mm-hmm. Myers. Congress has the power to put them in jail. There's a jail right in the bottom of the Capitol,
right,
which used to be used in the good old days for contempt. When somebody refused to obey a subpoena, they were hauled in by the sergeant of arms and put in the jail or hauled before the bar of the House of Representatives and told that they had to talk or produce the documents or otherwise they'd be held in contempt. But Congress doesn't want to do that. It has the power to enforce its will, but it doesn't want to do that. It's had the power to have full hearings on the torture, on FISA. It hasn't done that. I mean, yeah. The Senate came out with a very important report recently showing that there was no intelligence to back up some of the key claims that Bush made in connection with going to the war in Iraq.
Yeah.
But they just looked at statements and publicity issued by the White House. No one asked the president what he knew and when he knew it.
Well, and then
in some ways, it seems as though, you know, Watergate was a high watermark, mm-hmm. actually, for congressional courage and congressional action.
Right. And, you know, Scott McClellan, we didn't have to wait for his book to be published to call him to testify. And when they did, they really didn't grill him and try to collect evidence. It was just a photo op. I got a couple of guys named Dave who want to talk with you. First, Dave and San Francisco. Go ahead, Dave.
Dave's not here.
Okay.
Hey, hi. Yeah, hi, Peter and Elizabeth. I wanted to ask about an aspect of this that I've wondered about for a long time. In personal injury law, if someone knows of a problem, a broken step or a dangerous condition, and they warn the person who's responsible. Typically, this would involve landlord disputes or whatnot. If the landlord doesn't know that there's a dangerous condition and someone hurts himself, then they can be liable for damages, but not for punitive damages. Well, now we've gone through layers and layers of proof that this war was not only willful, but it was venal in many different aspects. So I'm wondering when, in criminal law, when there's an aspect of constructive notice, have we the people officially given him constructive notice and that he is continuing to act in a willful manner as opposed to an ignorant manner?
Well, that's a kind of an interesting point, but I think even if that were the case, what difference would it make? The point is that we have a remedy for presidents who abuse the power of their office, who violate the Constitution, who violate the laws, and that power is the power of impeachment and removal from office. That could have been used against George Bush. It was not. So now what is the power? Congress is the power of the purse. The problem with the power of the purse, as we learned during the Vietnam War, is that you can't stop a war without two-thirds plus one vote.
Elizabeth Holtzman, we're out of time. I'm looking forward to your testimony Friday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective through the specialized expertise of Franklin Templeton and Mutual Series. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. The U.S. Census Bureau predicts that the number of elderly Americans will nearly double to 71 million by the year 2030, leaving one physician trained in geriatric care for every 7,665 seniors. That's going to be one busy doctor. In other words, folks, we're not prepared.
We're looking at a national health crisis in terms of taking care of our older adults.
And we better do something about it. More on that after this.
Running low on ink? Office Depot can take care of you. We guarantee to be in stock on top brands of ink you need to keep printing. And Office Depot has low prices, so you don't have to worry about paying too much. Plus, use your Office Depot Work-Life Rewards card and get 10% back in rewards. Office Depot, taking care of business. In-stock guarantee not available in Alaska or Hawaii. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP. See store for details.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
You have better things to think about than car insurance. You know, like where your four-year-old hid your cell phone, or why your dog doesn't appreciate everything you do for him. Yeah, you've got a lot to think about. So GEICO invented GEICO.com. It makes doing everything from updating your policy to reporting a claim fast, easy, a no-brainer. Hey, with all you've got on the brain, it's the least we could do.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Already, we in the United States are feeling the effects of what's been called the age bomb, says Gavin Huffam of the John A. Hartford Foundation.
We have a shortage of geriatric nurses, geriatric social workers, pharmacists are undertrained, surgeons, and many other specialties in internal medicine.
The government knows what's going to happen, but acts as if it doesn't know.
Right now, the Medicare program pays the stipends for all residents except pediatrics in every specialty, but they're not requiring that they have any geriatrics experience. How irrational is that?
Dr. Richard Best-Dean is director of the Geriatrics Division at Brown University Medical School in Providence, Rhode Island.
The Medicare program needs to be investing into the training of physicians who are actually going to take care of old people.
Why aren't we doing what needs to be done? The Hartford Foundation focuses on aging and health, and Gavin Huffam is the senior program officer there.
Some of the barriers are relatively low status in the field, and there's still a stigma attached to older people within medicine, and levels of pay are lower than in other fields of medicine.
Huffam calls it a national crisis, and Dr. Best-Dean says he's right.
It's not hyperbole to say this is a crisis.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Locals' Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, Fresh Fruit Hawaiian Coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian Ice Cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives looking for some shipwreck music. And I'm sorry, this is the best I could do. It was a Great Lakes freighter called the Edmund Fitzgerald that broke up one winter.
Does anyone know where the love of God goes with the waves turning the minutes to hours? The searchers of St. Anna Bay, Whitefish Bay, they put 50 more miles behind her.
Now, gosh, I'm trying to remember this singer's name. Gordon Lightfoot, there it is, Canadian crooner from the 1970s. He wrote that song about the Edmund Fitzgerald, but there's an even more famous, more damaging shipwreck that we're going to talk about this half hour, the Exxon Valdez, which was run into the reef there off Prince William Sound on March 24th of 1989. More than 10 million gallons of crude oil spilled into Prudhoe Bay. And just recently, the United States Supreme Court took the final look at the lawsuit that was brought by the victims of this oil spill. Fishing families, other business people who really had a devastating setback after the spill of the Valdez. And on June 25th, the U.S. Supreme Court, under Chief Justice Roberts, ruled against the plaintiffs. And they sharply reduced the punitive damage award of $5 billion, which had been laid against the Exxon Corporation, now ExxonMobil. And they slashed it really to just about 10%, to $507.5 million. And this amounts to just $15,000 per individual plaintiff. There were 32,000 people who formed a class action suit against Exxon, all who were damaged by that huge oil spill. Joining us to talk about it is Osa Schultz. She and her husband Rick are self-employed fishers, and they're small business owners there in Prince William Sound, Alaska. And in a moment, we'll introduce a member of the Whole Truth campaign that has led this lawsuit. Osa, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Well, it's nice to talk with you. And you are going to be testifying before Patrick Leahy's Senate committee about this Supreme Court decision. What do you plan to tell Senator Leahy and the committee?
Well, I'm mostly they're looking for a personal story, and that's kind of how I ended up being invited. It's not because I've been out there waving my stick at anybody, but I have been very vocal on the damages that we suffered and the consequences of not holding Exxon responsible for this spill, which is basically the way we feel the Supreme Court's judgment came out, is that it's such a minimal amount of punitive damages that it's certainly not a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that consequence of not following through the PAPS, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Authorization Act in 1973 was a congressional agreement with the pipeline company, Alyeska, that the company would operate with the utmost care in the Prince William Sound because they recognized that it was such a fragile environment to be transporting such a volatile product, and the industry promised to, you know, go on above and beyond all other requirements in order to be safe.
Yeah, but you didn't believe those promises, did you?
Well, you have to or you can't go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And they promised contingency plans. I mean, it was all on paper, unfortunately, and not in action.
Mm-hmm.
Because the preventative and also the in case of equipment just weren't there.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything in that pipeline law that said, you know, that the captain and his top crew members shouldn't knock back boilermakers and hop on the ship drunk?
You'd think that that would just be a known. I mean, we're not supposed to drive vehicles being drunk, and it's also there's laws against driving any kind of vessel being drunk. So, you know, a supertanker, you'd think that you'd kind of want to be responsible.
Yeah. Osa, tell me about your business that you and your husband Rick have.
Well, the main thing that was very frustrating for us is in 1985 we started constructing boat trailers and also offering a service to pull boats out of the water for repair, specifically fishing boats. And we had spent a lot of money in investing in our equipment over the 5 years prior, 4 years prior to the spill. And just that spring, prior to the spill, we had moved into a new warehouse and also hired a full-time employee to be our driver so that we could continue to focus on fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the spill, the preparations for the season came to a standstill. The herring was shut down, which is another part of the industry that was completely decimated by the spill.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of work for the people getting ready for herring. We did a lot of work for the fishermen getting ready for fishing, and that just didn't happen.
And if you were to tally up your losses, direct losses, from the impact of the Exxon Valdez oil spill, what were they?
It's such an ambiguous question, and I get it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we did some financial work with the attorneys early in this process, we came up with hundreds of thousands of dollars of loss. But when you look at inflation that's affected over the last 20 years, and just looking at what we thought we lost then and then add 20 years, what we really lost was financial ground.
Yeah.
We weren't able to make the progress that we intended to make. We had to take out loans, which we still have. We still have debt as a result of the Exxon Valdez spill.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have savings, and we don't have a retirement plan. And that's just, you know, not the way it's supposed to work when you're hardworking and you're in your 30s and you've got plans.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever had any direct contact with officials of Exxon?
In the first year, they were there. They were having to fill out paperwork like you can't believe. I mean, stacks. And the thing about the time frame is so amazing. I was, writing my oral presentation and a written presentation for the hearing here, and I was thinking, back then what we were struggling with is technology didn't exist in that town then. We didn't have home computers. We didn't have copiers. There was, maybe two in town. And yet this incredible mass of people came in wanting information from us. And so we were sidetracked from our regular responsibilities and obligations to make money, and we were filling out forms. And if we didn't fit into their little groove of what they expected the category of our losses to be, then it got thrown out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is Osa Schultz. She and her husband, Rick, self-employed fishers, and they have the other business that she described there in Prince William Sound, Alaska. They were devastated by the Exxon Valdez oil spill back in 1989, and the damages that they sought from Exxon were cut by the factor of 10. So ultimately, you might have hoped to get about $150,000, and you're going to get $15,000. And that's not even definite, is it, Osa?
No, it's not, because now they're challenging the interest. They just won't let it rest. I mean, they won't settle up and be accountable.
Yeah.
They will fight this no matter what the cost. They've already spent more than it would have cost them to settle with us and let us move on with our lives. And, you'd think it would be a PR advantage to be a good corporate citizen.
Well, and especially right now, with all the obscene profits that they are taking in.
Exactly.
This is a minuscule amount of money, and it's been shown. In fact, today the New York Times has an interesting story that these big oil companies are spending most of the windfall profits that they're getting right now, not on exploration for the next phase of oil development, but on buying back their stocks to make the companies worth even more. And if they just flipped you, a few hundred shares of Exxon as a gesture of good faith, that'd be better than this poke in the eye that they're offering you.
It's just terrifying that corporations can have no soul. They have people running them, but because they're hiding behind the facade of a corporate name, they can be just ruthless.
Joining us now is Travis Blasoff. He is a representative of the Whole Truth Campaign, and he also is on the board of Prince William Soundkeeper. Travis, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Did I get your name right, Vlasoff or Vlasoff?
Vlasoff.
Vlasoff, very good. And tell us your involvement here, and do you personally belong to this class of plaintiffs, and did you suffer significant losses as a result of the Valdez spill?
Very much so. Lost beyond almost what is the limit to imagine. I'm an Aleutic, an Alaska native from the village of Tetitlik, and my home is just a few miles from where the tanker ran aground, and so it's very akin to someone grounding a super tanker in your subdivision.
Yeah. So describe it for us. What was it like to wake up on the 25th of March and see the Valdez up on the reef there. They've been out of the shipping lane to try to avoid icebergs, and we know that Hazelwood, the captain, was drunk. But what did you see, your first glimpse of the damage from this spill?
You know, anyone who was on site early in the spill can recall several feet of oil on the water. There were literally birds and marine mammals dying everywhere. It was such a catastrophe. There was horrible noxious odors coming off of the oil. It was just so bleak. And since that time, you know, the shock of the spill was so great. I don't think that any of us could really foresee the ongoing damages, the ongoing impacts. You know, most of these spill-affected communities are still struggling to remain economically viable entities. The tribal communities, of which I'm a member, have still not really gotten back to their feet. They have not reclaimed their subsistence practices because the resources just are not there or they're contaminated. The question that you posed to OSA earlier was a good start, because you asked her what were her actual losses. Now, I can tell you the way that they are compensating subsistence class loss is by figuring the value of the meat that was not in your freezer. Now, the thing that they don't understand is that our social practices, our cultural practices, our very spiritual practices were based on subsistence gathering, subsistence practice, subsistence action. And so the loss of that has really been cultural devastation. We're seeing an erosion of tribal unity. We're seeing a weakening of family cohesion. We're seeing an increase in social distress, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can trace almost all of this, what you might call social pathology, to this disastrous event back in 1989.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. They stem very directly from the loss of these subsistence resources that these communities have literally relied on for thousands of years. The physical health effects to our communities with the loss of this traditional diet have been incredible. We've exceeded a 200% increase in diabetes prevalence. We're seeing something very similar increase in heart disease. These are communities that were quite literally devastated by this oil spill and continue to suffer.
That's Travis Vlasov, as you heard. He is a Native American and a board member of the Prince William Soundkeeper Group. He's also affiliated with the Whole Truth Campaign that has been leading the charge on this class action lawsuit against Exxon. 32,000 plaintiffs in the class, and Osa Schultz is also a member of that group. We're going to take a break and return. If you have a comment or a question, this is a good time for it. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. What you're hearing is the human impact of this pro-corporate decision issued by the Roberts Supreme Court just about a month ago. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove, is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
We're talking about the Supreme Court decision which sharply trimmed the punitive damages owed by Exxon, now ExxonMobil, to the victims of its huge spill in Prince William Sound in 1989. The Supreme Court decided that, 10% of the standing award would be enough. And they set a new ceiling on punitive damages that may be applied in other cases as well. And we're talking with two individuals from Prince William Sound who will be testifying on Wednesday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it'll be interesting to see what the senators have to say about this. Osa Schultz is with us, along with Travis Blasoff. And Osa, tell me a little bit about what can possibly be done here. The Supreme Court has ruled. I don't know any way to revisit these issues. You are, in technical terms, just screwed, right?
Our case, yes, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if they could overturn the reduction of the punitive damages, but I doubt that that's anything that can happen. More what we're concerned and why we're not stopping to get this message out is because this has got so much ramification for the future of our country and the world.
Yeah.
If corporate power continues to be divisive and corrupt and will run right over us for the sake of profit, what are we going to do? And the only people we can turn to for control of this situation is the Congress.
Well, and I'm really glad you're speaking up. Travis, at this point, we're hearing a lot of people ignore the lessons of the past and say, we should drill for more oil in the Arctic, offshore, and they always play down the risk of spills. And you saw what can happen when a tanker spills. Santa Barbara in the late 60s saw what can happen when a platform starts to leak badly. And yet we're being told that, we could drill in Anwar, just a postage stamp size little area, and drill down and pull out that oil, and the snow will never even know the difference. And as Osa told us, these assurances that come from oil companies and in the deals they strike cannot be trusted.
Exactly. If they're not going to be responsible and, let alone safe, because they certainly weren't in our situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. Travis, your comment?
I would just have to agree with OSHA that I see no evidence to support me believing they would honor another promise. They didn't honor their promise with the Pipeline Authorization Act. They didn't honor their own promise to make us whole after they spilled. What evidence do I have that should change my mind?
Well, I'm not going to try to persuade you because I haven't found any. So let me ask you each, starting with OSHA, what have you done to cope in the last 20 years? I would imagine the ecosystem has gradually come back, but OSHA, I imagine too that you and your fishing husband have had to go much further to do your work.
Most definitely. One of the key terms that Exxon representatives kept using that first summer when we were trying to get some assistance from them then was that we had to mitigate our losses to reduce or make less. And that's what we've been doing for the last 19 and a half years is trying to make up for that. And that means working 7 days a week in most cases. Sometimes we can take a month off in the winter and go visit family. But for the rest of the year, it's pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And long hours and multiple businesses. We have two other businesses besides the two I've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to hang on. And what's really unfortunate about this decision is for years we've been, you know, next year, all 2 years. Well, okay, well, it might be the year after next. You know, it's just been drug on for so long. And a lot of people have had to quit and file bankruptcy or fold their business or move out of town. And we've been lucky enough to hang in there to the help of family loans and other loans. But you know, I was expecting this punitive settlement to at least get us back to zero, and it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not real sure.
Do you have to consider bankruptcy, or are you able to avoid that for now?
You know, I don't think that we're quite that bad, but we certainly don't have any savings, and that's really scary. You know, I mean, it means we're not going to be able to quit working when we're at retirement age, and 20 years of our most productive years has gone by.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it'll mean our son will have to work to go to college, and you just feel cheated.
Yeah, Travis, how have you operated in the interim?
I have really focused my efforts on my tribe and in doing what I can to just to aid the community and the community members individually in any recovery that they might experience. I do want to touch on something that you mentioned. You know, just how are the beaches in Alaska today, and just how is nature recovering from this? It's estimated that there is still 26,000 gallons of oil remaining on Alaska beaches. They are very oiled today. The oil has deteriorated to a very difficult substance to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
It's been compared to asphalt. It's going to be there for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today, and I wish you the best in your testimony on Wednesday before the Senate committee. And I hope that you will forcefully give them respectively pieces of your minds and let them know that you've got a lot of support in the American public community. And we support you over the interests of an exploitive corporation like Exxon. And you really do deserve justice, and you haven't received it from our system. And I think you have every right to be angry. A final comment, OSHA?
The listeners would like to stay in tune to this issue on www.wholetruth.net is a wealth of information. It's got history. It's got links to the legislation that we've talked about, I talked about, and also the briefs that were filed in favor of our side of the case, which mm-hmm. is some very interesting information, and there's an email list that they could sign up on, and then they just get emails about where the case is going or what
Great.
Actions have been taken.
That's at wholetruth.net. We've been talking with Osa Schultz and Travis Vlasov. Thank you both, and I wish you the best.
Thank you, Peter.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Dolly approaches the Gulf Coast as a hurricane.
Dolly's most serious threat is water, not wind.
Good news for drivers as the price of oil falls again.
If oil prices go down, then gasoline prices are sure to follow.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. There's a hurricane warning for the Texas Gulf Coast from Brownsville to Corpus Christi and for the Mexican coast as far south as Rio San Fernando. Dennis Felchin at the National Hurricane Center says Dolly became a hurricane this afternoon with top winds of 75 miles per hour.
Dolly's moving in the northwest near 10 miles per hour. This motion should bring the core of Dolly near northeastern Mexico or extreme southern Texas on Wednesday.
CBS Morning Show meteorologist Dave Price in Corpus Christi says the big threat from Dolly is heavy rain.
A possible 20 inches of rain could overwhelm the mostly flat Rio Grande Valley. And officials are worried that the levees along the Rio Grande may not hold.
We will have widespread power outages. We will have flooding. We will have sewer problems if we get that many inches of rain that's being predicted.
Though Dolly should steer south of most Gulf oil drilling, several hundred workers have been evacuated as a precaution.
Shell Oil says its evacuations have had no impact on offshore production. Now this.
When someone comes in our store with that look in their eye, that I have an idea but I need help look, for me, that's what Sherwin-Williams is all about. That's why I'm here.
Our experts can help bring your ideas to life with incredible colors, the finest paints and stains, and advice you won't find anywhere else. And now save $7 a gallon on a wide variety of our exceptional paints and stains. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop, and since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Price of crude oil took another big dip today, down more than $3 to $128.33 a barrel. Analyst David Purcell.
What you had today was commodity market reaction to folks in the government talking about a strong dollar is a good thing.
The market was also showing relief that Hurricane Dolly is not likely to disrupt Gulf oil drilling. Purcell says if this trend holds, we can expect lower prices at the pump pretty soon. In Washington today, debate over what pushed prices so high in the first place. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
An interagency task force has concluded the huge run-up in oil prices is due to supply and demand, not speculators. That's been the view of the Bush administration from the start, but a number of outside economists and experts, including leaders of the hard-hit airline industry, say otherwise. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says speculators clearly have driven up the price.
We believe that we must move forward on speculation because it is a serious problem.
A bill to rein in speculation appears to be going nowhere fast in the Senate. Republicans who want more oil drilling are demanding more than 20 amendments. Reid says they can have one. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As Barack Obama visited Iraq, John McCain criticized him for opposing the troop surge that's credited with tamping down the violence. Today in Amman, Jordan, Obama told CBS News correspondent Katie Couric he hasn't changed his mind.
There is no doubt that our troops helped to reduce violence.
But yet you're saying if you knew, but you know, given what you know now, you still wouldn't support it.
Because,
so I'm just trying to understand this.
It's pretty straightforward. By us putting $10 to $12 billion a month, $200 billion, that's money that could have gone into Afghanistan.
In a separate interview, McCain said the surge provided the opportunity to shift focus.
Now that we've succeeded in Iraq, obviously we will be freeing up troops to go to Afghanistan, and we will urge our NATO allies to send more troops and be more involved as well.
Actress,
we can succeed.
Actress Estelle Getty, who played the wisecracking Sophia on The Golden Girls, died this morning at her Hollywood Hills home. She was 84. Getty turned a minor character into a star with her self-deprecating remarks about her age.
I know a lot of old people. They're all the same. They're cranky. They're demanding. They repeat themselves. They're cranky.
Co-star Rue McClanahan.
She was perfect for the role of Sophia, and getting that was, you know, I'd call it a crowning achievement. It was a wonderful experience. She achieved what she set out to do all her life.
Getty toiled in show business 40 years before becoming an overnight success. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
When someone comes in our store with that look in their eye, that I have an idea but I need help look, for me, that's what Sherwin-Williams is all about. That's why I'm here.
Our experts can help bring your ideas to life with incredible colors, the finest paints and stains, and advice you won't find anywhere else. And now, save $7 a gallon on a wide variety of our exceptional paints and stains. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to FreeCreditReport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts, so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we focus on some key foreign policy issues. Later on, Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter, will join us to talk about House Resolution 362, which is a non-binding resolution, but it includes a call for a naval blockade of Iran, which many call an act of war. But first, we want to talk with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan, where he has been teaching for some time, a professor of modern Middle Eastern and South Asian history. And Professor Cole, welcome back to our program today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I was just checking out on the Wikipedia and found out that you and I were at Northwestern at the same time back in the 1970s.
Is that so?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. And I do want to thank you for your contributions on this program and elsewhere, Professor. I was commenting to a colleague here on the show yesterday that my pronunciations of Iraqi place names and individuals and the Butter Brigade, they're all influenced by you. And when you go on, like, the News Hour on TV, I think that you help us all without appearing to, condescend or be too much of an academic. You help us all understand the way those things are actually pronounced, and you give us a sense of your own connection to those cultures.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think getting the names right is the first step towards understanding the place in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a fascinating week because we have seen some dramatic shifts that really favor the positions that have been taken by Barack Obama, the presumptive Democratic nominee.
And it's been somewhat stunning. First of all, he, of course, has counseled direct talks with Iran, and the Bush administration did an about-face and sent William Burns to that meeting in Geneva over the weekend. Not a lot of progress reported, and there's kind of a two-week holding period now as we await a formal Iranian response. But I think that's an important shift. And likewise, the Bush administration seems to be able to understand, after the translation, the invitation for us to leave Iraq extended by their handpicked Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki. And so these are very fundamental changes, even though Bush has called it an aspirational time horizon. He appears to be accepting that Iraq wants to set a limit to the timeline of the American occupation.
Yes, well, of course, there's very little that Bush can do about it. Everybody has said all along that were the Iraqi parliament to demand a U.S. troop withdrawal, that we would have to go. And, you know, this is what happened in the Philippines. People forget the U.S. Had bases in the Philippines after World War II, right up until 1989, and it was the Filipino Senate that asked the U.S. Navy to leave. And the same thing could happen in Iraq.
And do you consider this as pivotal as I'm making it out to be?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think it plays into the American domestic scene in a different way than it's playing in Iraq itself.
Mm-hmm.
In Iraq itself, I think this is just the consensus of Iraqis across the board. There may be some dissent among the Kurds up north, but they're a minority and face a different situation. But Arab Iraq just doesn't want long-term U.S. military bases. It doesn't want U.S. troops running around conducting operations independently of the Iraqi government, and what government would want that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to the point now where they were worried before if the U.S. left, they'd be left in chaos. But now I think they're starting to believe that they can handle things on their own.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan, and I want to recommend his website and blog to you. It's juancole.com. He calls it Informed Comment. And on just about a daily basis, he posts news items and his comments about U.S. policy toward Iraq and other key portions in the Middle East. And, Professor, there's such a difference between some of the news digests that you post on a daily basis about the ongoing violence in Iraq and the representations by the American media. Now, with Obama's visit to Iraq, this is the largest media contingent that has been operating there, reporting from there in quite a while. And they appear to be passing on uncritically the talking points of the occupation leadership, General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker, and the Bush White House, by just flatly saying that the surge has worked. And Trent Lott was on television last night for an interview that was about 6 minutes, and he said four times, the surge has worked. Then Andrea Mitchell, live from Baghdad, was complaining that the Obama team is using Bush-type tactics to limit the media's coverage of him, instead relying on the official Pentagon cameras and that kind of thing. But she flatly asserted that the surge has worked and that Obama has to accept that. And I realize that in some metrics things have improved, mostly in terms of the number of Americans dying. But as you point out in your blog today, the level of violence for Iraqis is relatively the same.
Well, it's relatively the same as before the Samarra bombing. I mean, it's really difficult, I think, for reporters to convey a complex message to the public on television. You get these sound bites, and there's only really one narrative that there's room for. So that's why they're all saying the surge has worked as the narrative. In December of 2005, the month before Obama was in Iraq the last time, the number of Iraqi civilians and security forces killed in political violence, according to official sources, was about the same, a little bit less, than it was in June of 2008, the month before he's visiting this time.
Mm-hmm.
It is true that violence is down significantly from a year ago, from that apocalyptic period between February of 2006 and sort of September, October of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But that Sweden would be a wrong conclusion. If this level of violence, 500 and 600 and 800 people, civilians being killed every month in political violence, were occurring in any other country in the world, it would be considered the worst human rights disaster, human security disaster in the world at the moment.
And as we look at this, you know, once again, I hear these talking points and they present this image. You know, the B-roll that they use on television is highly suggestive. And they can choose the B-roll from file, whether it is combat footage or placid footage of people shopping in markets. But I think there's a lot of misleading going on of the American public about the nature of what has changed in Iraq. And, Professor, I'm not hoping for more violence. I don't want to see further failure. But I'm trying to be realistic because I think we're being sold some hype and some BS that is intended to lull Americans into a sense that things are getting better and that we can take our eyes off this and just kind of let somebody handle it.
Yeah, there are a lot of worrisome things for the future which may or may not provoke violence. There are 4.7 million displaced people domestically and abroad, 2 million of them in Jordan and Syria. If they're running out of money, a lot of them, their children are not getting schooled, they often don't have access to potable water. If they start coming back in large numbers, they're going to find militiamen from the opposite sect sitting in their living room, there could, you know, that's a big population movement, 2 million people. So there could be another battle for Baghdad, depending upon how that's handled. The one silver lining that could decrease the potential for violence is that the Iraqi government, at least, is getting rich off of the high oil prices. They should get $75 billion in oil receipts this year, and next year it could be twice that. And if they use that money wisely, they could go a long way towards tamping down social conflict, because there's certainly enough for everybody to be well off.
And what is the current posture of the Sunnis? Because some have agreed to return to the cabinet. Is that a positive sign? Are we seeing true reconciliation?
Well, it's certainly better that they have agreed to come back into the cabinet and be part of the government than for them to be in the opposition. It's important, I think, on a symbolic level for Sunni Iraqis to see Vice President Tariq al-Hashimi and Sunni cabinet members in al-Maliki's entourage having a voice, being part of the government. I think the next big thing that's going to happen that would affect the Sunni-Shiite relationship in Iraq is the provincial elections, which are scheduled for this fall now, apparently, to be held in December. It's often forgotten. The Sunnis boycotted the provincial elections the first time in January 2005. So all this time, they've had more or less appointed governments in their provinces. They've had a kind of martial law often. And in some instances, they've been ruled by Shiites or by Kurds. And so if you could get provincial governments that actually represented real Sunni Arab constituencies in the provinces where they predominate, that would, I think, potentially go a long way towards resolving some of the hostilities and resentments that exist.
And what about Muqtada al-Sadr? Because he really has called a ceasefire that is held pretty firmly over the last year. He extended it at one point. Can we rely on him in any way?
Well, I don't think we can rely on him. He clearly doesn't want the United States in Iraq. His interests are not the same as those of Washington, on the whole and by and large. But I think what's interesting here is that al-Maliki has more or less taken over a large part of Muqtada al-Sadr's program. So Muqtada al-Sadr was representing the poor people, people without services, the Shiites in the slums. He was saying, we want foreign troops out of our country, we want our sovereignty back, we want our lives to get better, and we want security, and Sadr's militia large as it was also supplying security to a lot of neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And al-Maliki now is trying to deploy Iraqi police and soldiers to provide security. He's trying to spread around some of the oil money to make people's lives better, and he's demanding a timetable for withdrawal of U.S. troops. So, you know, it's often said that very successful politicians essentially co-opt the programs of their enemies that are popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I think al-Maliki is doing this to Sutter.
All right, we're going to take a break and return. Professor Juan Cole is with us from the University of Michigan. His website, juancole.com. You can call in now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations. The staff and management of Natura Vita welcome all to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas. Learn firsthand about traditional and modern natural health products and practices while enjoying delicious and healthy food in a fun, clean, and family-friendly atmosphere. Smoothies, anyone? Come to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant, conveniently located at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart, Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Nate Nix, checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off Highway 1 at Flanders Drive. Broken down bus in the northbound lane of Highway 1 causing delays. Southbound Laurelis Grade Road after Jeanette. Truck with a horse trailer broken down, and that's blocking the roadway on a blind curve. Look out there. Highway 198 east of 101. An injury crash occurred, over an hour ago. Looks like emergency crews still off to the side tending to that. Highway 17 as you make your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checks in Stalin, accident free. Highway 68, we have nothing to tell you about right now, and traffic just beginning to get slow at the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz with stop-and-go traffic southbound 1 heading towards Aptos. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We'll be right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
I can't take it no more.
Talking with Professor Juan Cole here on the PBC show. He's at the University of Michigan, and his website has a lot of up-to-date information and comment on the Middle East, Iraq in particular. That's juancole.com. Professor, your comments on Barack Obama's foreign policy speech last week. Let's start with the portion about Iraq. Do you have any differences with him?
Well, on Iraq, I think he's largely getting it right, and he is on the same page now, I think, with the elected Iraqi leadership. I've never actually been a fan of a set timetable, in the sense that we've seen a lot of instances where that's gone wrong in Iraq and been counterproductive, I think. Attempts were made to set a timetable for provinces, but Mosul, people forget the U.S. military has tried to withdraw from Nineveh province in the north. It's a largely Sunni Arab area with some Kurds. And every time they've tried to turn it over to the Iraqi military and get out, lots of bombs have gone off in Mosul and they haven't been able to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at some point you have a choice between a timetable which would be unresponsive to the situation on the ground, and you would just be willing to let things go to hell if that's where they're going, or a willingness to work on particular situations until they are such that that they can be turned over to the Iraqis.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not completely unsympathetic to critics of the timetable position, and I don't concur with Bush's view, which it seems to me really is a plan for keeping long-term bases in Iraq. I don't think that's plausible.
Professor, what about my biggest concern about Obama's speech is what I consider to be a kind of thoughtless creep in Afghanistan. The idea, yes, we have more American casualties there, and yes, the Taliban has resurged, and yes, we've got issues along the border that McCain can't quite identify, the one between Pakistan and Afghanistan. But the idea of just putting more troops in there and expanding the occupation of a nation that has defied that over the centuries, I think bears further thought, and I'd like to hear what the real mission is.
Yeah, I've got an article coming out in Salon tomorrow which says much of what you've just said. It is mysterious to me what exactly those 66,000 troops, U.S. and NATO, are doing in Afghanistan. I mean, a lot of them, like the Germans, are just doing Peace Corps kind of work, social reconstruction and so forth. But others, the Canadians, the French, the Americans, the British, are apparently doing what used to be called in Vietnam search and destroy missions. And I think that, doing more of that, is a disaster. And, you know, it's widely believed among people who study guerrilla wars and so forth that search and destroy missions actually foment insurgencies. And I would argue that what happened in Iraq was not so much that we sent in an extra 30,000 troops and tamped violence down, but that we stopped doing search and destroy missions and bought off the locals instead.
Well, in Afghanistan, if we stop bombing weddings, things might improve a little bit. Professor, just a minute remaining and a final comment, please, on HRES 362. We're going to go into more detail about this in the next segment. But what is your thought about this congressionally written threat against Iran that includes the call for a naval blockade?
It's very dangerous. It's coming out to some extent from the Israel lobbies. It's coming out from the far right of the American political spectrum. There are some people who make money off of wars. And it's very dangerous to get involved in trying to blockade Iran. Plus, it's an enormous country. It's four times the size of France. I mean, Americans have no idea
what they're getting into if they want to tangle with that.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate your comments, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Likewise, Peter.
Professor Juan Cole at the University of Michigan. Once again, his website is juancole.com. Jason Leopold joins me next. We'll talk about the Ackerman Resolution. That's House Resolution 362 that we just referred to with Professor Cole. This program's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And Josh Emerson Smith is taking your calls today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It must be driving him crazy. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Barack Obama's trip must be driving John McCain crazy. When McCain himself traveled to Iraq, the news coverage was about him getting Sunnis mixed up with Shiites and walking through a market surrounded by security forces claiming it proved Baghdad was safe again. Obama comes to town, and does the coverage focus on how he was against the surge, which seems to have worked? No. All we hear about is how the Iraqis seem to like the idea of getting U.S. troops out ASAP. McCain hoped Obama's withdrawal plan would come across as naive, and here's the Iraqi government saying, 16 months sounds good. He hasn't even had the decency to commit a newsworthy gaffe. And all of this on a trip that John McCain shamed him into taking. But he did make an interesting promise while he was in Afghanistan.
Losing is not an option when it comes to Al-Qaeda, and it never has been.
That was a promise to win the war in Afghanistan. And when CBS correspondent Laura Logan asked him how he'd define mission accomplished, here's what he said.
That we have stabilized Afghanistan, that the Afghan people are experiencing rising standards of living, that we have made sure that we are disabling Al-Qaeda and the Taliban so that they can no longer attack Afghanistan, they can no longer engage in attacks against targets in Pakistan, and they can't target the United States or its allies.
That certainly sounds good, but I did notice one interesting omission. Did you hear any mention of a timetable? Like I say, it must be driving John McCain crazy. Now this.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Bomb.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot.
Oh!
Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from
from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to talk about a dangerous congressional resolution. We got to get it together, man. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show, we offer generous paternity leaves. Jason Leopold took 1 week off. And he's back. Congratulations, Jason.
Thank you, Peter. I really appreciate it. It's quite an experience. I'm sort of at a loss for words because I still can't believe it. But,
the young Hill Lester Leopold, a male,
Lester Leopold,
arrived on the 11th of July shortly after 8 in the morning.
That's right.
And Lisa, your wife, doing well?
Yeah, she's doing great. We're, you know, getting used to being awake all night, you know, pulling those all-nighters again.
Well, a mom of a toddler once said to me that sleep is overrated, and I said, "Well, you should take that position short term."
yeah, it's great. I'm, you know, for me, this is sort of a new beginning.
Yeah.
Well, if I can sound a bit spiritual about it. So.
Well, I think it's great, and we're just delighted for you. And it hasn't seemed to cut into your work very much.
Yeah. Although a little bit, you know, I'm sort of used to writing a bit more.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm sort of practicing right now, typing with one hand and holding the baby in the other, and I'm hoping I get you know, my typing skills down by the end of the month.
All right. Well, if we hear any little you know, murmurs or screams, don't worry, don't stifle him. We'll let that natural background noise happen, okay?
Yeah, excellent.
Well,
thank you.
Jason, just before you joined us, I got a quick comment from Professor Juan Cole at the University of Michigan on the issues that you've written so well about. And I want to recommend that people go to the public record, pubrecord.org, and read this extensive piece that you published on Monday, July 21, entitled Representative Ackerman Defends Iran Sanctions Measure, but Critics Call It an Act of War.
Right.
And Professor Cole, as you might expect, considers this a very dangerous resolution, and that it does risk a great deal. His comment was that most Americans, including, he didn't mention John Cain, but I will, should get out an atlas or go to Google Earth or, you know, whatever your source of geographical input is, and take a look at Iran. And take a look at how big it is and who it borders and how difficult it would be to draw any kind of a military curtain around that nation and sustain it without huge potential losses to the United States.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really good point, Peter, because, you know, when certainly when lawmakers and policy analysts who do lean towards some sort of military action against Iran speak about it, they do, you sort of get the impression that they haven't really, you know, looked at the country on a map, because they speak about it as if it were sort of just a speck that we can just drop a bomb on or just launch some sort of airstrike and then leave in time to have breakfast in the morning.
Well, and as if it were some sort of video game.
Exactly.
You know, that we can get all geared up and, you know, get comfy there with the Wii controllers.
Right.
That everything will go the way we expect it.
Yeah, and, you know, this really goes back to the early days during Donald Rumsfeld's tenure as defense secretary, when, you know, he, along with various other neoconservative, put together the Iraq War plan, and this was on paper. And basically, they put together these sort of white papers, and didn't really look at what the military officials look at, which is a map, and they just sort of put together, we can sustain everything with Air Force. Dropping bombs. We don't really need any ground troops. We don't need to look, at the country as a whole. They just sort of, we're putting this together as if it were, like you said, a video game.
Well, and let's just take a look at 1975 or 76.
Right.
I think it was in 76 because Carter was up for re-election. He was desperate to get our hostages back.
Yeah.
And he authorized, and Zbigniew Brzezinski was the architect of this, a very, very poorly executed commando raid into Iran with the goal of trying to grab our hostages and take them out.
Right.
And it was a debacle built on debacle. We landed helicopters that couldn't handle the sand in the desert. The rotors got clogged up. I believe we lost a number of American soldiers, and we didn't pull out a single hostage.
Yeah.
And that's just one example of the mighty American military attempting to penetrate Iran.
Yeah, and, if you look at it in addition to that, and my point about bringing up Rumsfeld and the advisors such as Wolfowitz, is that we don't have military officials, longtime veterans, actually, like Eric Shinetsky, I believe I'm pronouncing his name correctly, actually, talking about this. The folks that are advocating military action are, they're people that don't have, real military experience.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, any military official would actually try to talk you out of it, not talk you into it, and it's because they recognize how serious it is and what would be required.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly when it comes to, this resolution that's making its way through Congress right now, it's troubling because the lawmakers that are behind it are for the most part, seem to be unaware of what they've actually signed on to.
Well, and that's why I want to go into some detail here. So first, let's talk about the intention of Democrat Gary Ackerman, congressman from New York State, who is the co-author of this non-binding resolution.
Right.
And he wants to underscore, that it's non-binding. But the comments that it contains certainly would encourage this administration to take action, and they seem oblivious about this.
Yeah, they totally seem oblivious, and they seem to not really, care. I mean, on one hand, you have, folks like Joe Biden, John Conyers. Conyers obviously is in Congress. And by the way, there is Biden's in the Senate, but there also is a companion Senate bill by
mm-hmm.
Evan Bayh that's going around as well. But the point is that, they're talking about this and just totally unaware of what this would entail, what's required. And it does sort of seem as if, this would, this is much, has more to do with politics during an election season than anything else. One of the analysts I spoke to at the Center for Arms Control, said that the resolution doesn't even contain the key findings of the National Intelligence Estimate,
mm-hmm.
which basically said that Iran had, given up its, or abandoned its, nuclear efforts back in nuclear capabilities back in 2003. I'm paraphrasing. I could be
mm-hmm.
a little off on exactly what the wording is there.
Mm-hmm. Now, so let's talk about this from Ackerman's point of view,
right.
Because he claims that this language simply expresses the sense of the Congress and, you know, that it has an explicit line in it that says that this is, whereas nothing in this resolution shall be construed as an authorization of the use of force against Iran. However, it calls for a naval blockade, and that is a use of force against Iran.
Exactly.
So there's a direct contradiction, and it's like Ackerman is saying, well, look over here. Just look over here. Don't look at that.
Right. And I think that Ackerman feels that he can sort of get away with this by saying nothing in this resolution should be construed as. I mean, as the, you know, the military, retired military officials who I included in there who had actually drafted a letter in opposition to this, they said that, you know, some of these provisions cannot be enforced without military intervention or military action. So it's sort of foolish to say that it shouldn't be construed as an authorization, because if you want to enact any of this, you're going to have to, call up on the military.
And let me quote from your article. 362 demands, quote, that the president initiate an international effort to immediately and dramatically increase the economic, political, and diplomatic pressure on Iran to verifiably suspend its nuclear enrichment activities by prohibiting the export to Iran of all refined petroleum products, imposing stringent inspection requirements on all persons, vehicles, ships, planes, trains, and cargo entering or departing Iran, and prohibiting the international movement of all Iranian officials not involved in negotiating the suspension of Iran's nuclear program. Now, these are very serious efforts that go beyond the UN sanctions and presumably authorize the U.S. military to unilaterally confront Iran in this manner.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what some international attorneys have said, is that this is a violation of the law. This is, that's why they have criticized this, because the language is so sloppily written. And criticizing not only Democrats for signing on to it, but for not actually reading what they've attached their names to, and that is certainly seems to be the case with Robert Wexler, the congressman from Florida,
mm-hmm.
Democrat who backs impeachment, who tried to impeach Vice President Dick Cheney for using bogus intelligence to launch a war, and he had more or less backtracked on his support for this resolution. And in his comments, it sort of appeared that, well, I don't believe that he actually gave this a good read.
Mm-hmm.
So it's troubling. And just to go just a step further, and I'll talk about this more when I have a story coming out on it. But this type of resolution, and because it does gain headlines to some degree, it actually spooks the oil markets. To a large extent. And right now, there's a huge, there's always been what they call a security premium on oil. And that's basically, between $10 and $20. It's up to about $25 now, just as a result of, speculators, the market sees that, hey, there's a possibility that there may be, some sort of military action,
right,
whether it's from Israel, United States, or whatever country, and they attach a security premium.
Mm-hmm.
So this sort of rhetoric only, and that security premium is attached to the market price. So if a barrel of oil is selling for $147, there's about $25 on that. That's just as what they call security.
Yeah. Well, and another part of that is the weaker dollar. When you actually, break down this huge spike in crude oil prices, you're correct that a huge part of it is the risk premium caused by our military actions,
right,
and threat of more. The second part's the weaker dollar. And the third is what Byron Dorgan is working on, which is actual speculation that has occurred,
right,
investors who can't make money flipping houses have been flipping oil futures.
Right.
And so if we can tamp that down, we could see some sort of a rollback in the world spot oil price. We're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. Read his article at pubrecord.org. That's pubrecord.org. And if you go to my website at peterbcollins.com, there's a button there that says you can help. Well, we're trying to raise some money to cover our live broadcast from the Democratic National Convention. And if we can raise enough money, we want to bring Jason out there, too. So log on to peterbcollins.com, and if you can help, let me know you can help.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Brand new problem coming in 68 east of Spreckles Boulevard. A large object in one of the lanes. Cars swerving to avoid it as they go by. Unknown at this point which direction is affected. Salinas Road at Pajaro Road. We have an accident with a couple of cars. They're both off to the side. Mount Hermon Road east of Zianti Road. We have a broken down pickup truck partially blocking the roadway. Soledad northbound 101 after Front Street. A grass fire reported to be burning on the right hand shoulder, and fire department is on the way. Murrieta Road at Indian Spring Road. In Salinas, an accident, PT Cruiser took out a mailbox and then hit a retaining wall. Nobody hurt there, and it looks like CHP is on the scene taking a report. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Roach season is upon us, Monterey, for maximum protection. Don't just call an exterminator. Call the experts at Orkin. 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for your free quote today. If you spot a traffic problem, call us up, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. U.S. policy toward Iran. Are we tough enough?
I would walk 10 miles on the mile, 10 cent bees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, you are in the bees. I'm blessed with the line, it's a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but
we're talking with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter. He publishes at his website, pubrecord.org. That's a new nonprofit journalism site. Check it out, pubrecord.org. And his latest piece is about Representative Ackerman, this HCON continuing resolution 362 in the House of Representatives, and the risk that it poses if it actually does pass. And a couple of things here, Jason, just briefly. One is in terms of the internal workings.
Right.
You point out in the piece that there are 247 co-sponsors, and that actually permits a bypass of committees, and it could go straight to the floor for a vote?
That's right. And in fact, it's getting... by the day, it really is gaining steam. and it could actually go straight to the floor. Normally it would go through the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and Howard Berman, who's the chair, I believe that's Howard Berman, yes, the chair of that committee, had actually, he said that he wouldn't allow it to come up for a vote in his committee until the language was changed.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, that may be a moot point, you know, or to, you know, repeat myself, that that is moot because it can just go straight to the floor. And you know, there's a possibility that this could be voted on prior to the August recess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is, this truly is serious, and it's not just a matter of how, you know, the resolution is written. It's also, if it is passed, how it will be perceived,
mm-hmm.
you know, by, you know, the Iran. I mean, we really should, you know, try to, you know, stick to diplomacy. You know, in the piece I also quote Lawrence Wilkerson, who actually had given an interview regarding this, and he
was Colin Powell's number two. Uh-huh.
Exactly, yeah, and he said that, you know, this is, you know, we're well past the point of trying to trying to keep, you know, pressure on Iran in a way of just, you know, continually threatening the country. Other routes have to be pursued at this
mm-hmm.
point.
Now, Jason, does Ackerman claim authorship of this? Some critics have said it was actually written by AIPAC.
Yes, it was actually, the language is pretty identical to what is on AIPAC's website. And he does claim ownership, I guess, to some extent. I mean, he has not, he would not say, you know, that AIPAC had influenced his decision at all. But I think that if people were to simply just go to the AIPAC website and see what they had discussed prior to their annual policy meeting,
mm-hmm.
They would see that the language, the provisions, the issues that they suggested Congress work on are eerily similar to, you know, what this resolution says.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, you mentioned the ugly D word a moment ago, diplomacy.
Right.
And it's interesting because Obama appears to be prevailing, at least in terms of policy points, regarding talking with Iran and also setting a timeline to get out of Iraq. It's kind of remarkable the way John McCain's positions have been left kind of in the dust shifts in events over the last week or two. But we now have a situation where Bush permitted Burns, the number three State Department guy, to go to Geneva, meet directly with the Iranians. From all accounts, it wasn't a terribly productive meeting, but they've given the Iranians 2 weeks for a formal response. And it appears that this resolution might actually pass before Iran gives a response to the diplomatic overture, such as it was, from the Bush administration.
Exactly. There is a strong possibility. I mean, there are, you know, some analysts like Kara Ong, who I quote in the article from the Center for Arms Control. She's the Iran policy analyst. And, you know, she says she doubts that it would happen. But look, you know, you and I both know, Peter, that this Democratic Congress has, you know, passed controversial pieces of legislation in the past and then left town quickly. You know, just, you know, the FISA bill last year was a perfect example. As well as the Iraq war funding. So I wouldn't put it past this Congress that they would just, you know, put their name on it, sign away, and say goodnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is a very interesting piece of work, and I want to congratulate you on the depth of it because you brought a lot of things further along. I was pleased to see what you reported about Congressman Wexler because I was flummoxed that he could co-sign with Kucinich on impeachment over the last war and then sign on to this trek, which presumably could promote the next war.
Yeah, and, you know, just to, again, to underscore the point of how problematic, you know, somebody like Robert Wexler is, association with this resolution is this is just really what this Congress, Democrat and Republican, has become. They don't read, they don't pay close attention to the laws, resolutions, bills that they, you know, that they sign on to. And it's only after that the, you know, comes under such great scrutiny that they, you know, hold back. But that's troubling. If, you know, if this trend continues, it's, you know, it's going to take paying close attention to every, you know, piece of legislation that this at least for the media to pay close attention to every, you know, little piece of legislation. That's probably a good thing, but it's troubling that we cannot, you know, really trust the our elected officials to have our back, if you will.
Well, and it appears that Wexler's been hearing from progressives because he wrote a piece that you cite from Huffington Post, quote, "I am not willing to leave even the slightest crack open for this president to unilaterally set this nation down another disastrous path of war in Iran. Therefore, I'm preparing to offer amendments to 362 and articulate a responsible policy that places America in the strongest possible diplomatic position to thwart Iran's nuclear program and the challenges we face." So I give him some credit there. And let's hope he keeps reading.
And you definitely kept the pressure on as well by, you know, talking about it for the past couple weeks.
All right, Jason, thank you very much. We'll talk again next week. And
look forward to it, Peter.
Best to the wife and baby.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All
Go
right.
and change your diaper now.
Okay.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Dolly has become a hurricane.
Dennis Felchin of the National Hurricane Center says Dolly's headed for the Gulf Coast at the Texas-Mexico border with top winds of 75 miles per hour and lots of moisture.
Dolly is expected to produce total rain accumulations of 6 to 10 inches with isolated amounts of 15 inches over much of South Texas and northeastern Mexico.
The major concern is flooding. CBS Morning Show meteorologist Dave Price is covering the storm.
If you're right along the beach in Corpus Christi or South Padre, there's still beachgoers enjoying the sun and the intense surf right now. But it's clear people here are beginning to prepare. They know what a hurricane can do. They know this area around the Rio Grande Valley is particularly low-lying. And flooding is a major concern here. So they're not so much worried about the wind, they're worried about the water.
Dolly's expected to make landfall tomorrow, so the people on the beach had better hurry.
We'll be leaving before it gets here.
I'm not going to risk my kids in any way.
As the price of crude oil fell another $3, increasing the likelihood of lower gasoline prices, a panel of experts in Washington concluded that the record prices we've seen recently can't be blamed on speculators. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The federal agency that oversees commodity trading put together this task force of experts from other parts of the administration. They concluded the historic run-up in oil prices is driven by supply and demand. They find that though speculation in the oil markets has increased dramatically, there's no evidence that pushed up the price. A number of outside economists and oil experts have blamed speculators, saying they could account for up to half the huge price run-up.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid agrees with them.
We know speculation does something. We know that.
He says today's report is an effort by Republicans to protect the oil companies. A grand jury in El Dorado, Texas, has indicted polygamist leader Warren Jeffs and five of his followers on charges that include sexual assault. The charges stem from the raid at the Yearning for Zion polygamist compound, where more than 400 children were seized and placed in foster care until a judge ordered their return. She was known to millions as Sophia. Actress Estelle Getty has died at 84. CBS News correspondent Jim Shenevy has her story.
Estelle Getty worked in theater for decades before the pint-sized actress made it big on TV's The Golden Girl.
Ma, he's a man. I didn't know you moved in with a man.
What
difference does it make? He's over 100 years old. I'm not sure he knows I'm a woman.
What made the role so memorable?
I want young people to see that older people are real people. They don't sit around, you know, counting their liver spots.
But for all the jokes and jabs, what made Golden Girls so popular was the love shared by the characters.
Thank you for being a friend.
Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
As oil prices fell, stocks rose, the Dow up 135 points to close above 11,600, the NASDAQ gained 24. This is CBS News.
So, there's a new stress treatment.
What is it?
It's the Sizzlin' Sampler from the United States Virgin Islands.
Now get $200 off our attractions and activities, a $100 traveler's check, up to $100 resort or room credit,
and your fourth night free. Call your favorite travel agent today.
Side effects include a favorable disposition toward rush hours and long work weeks. Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations through October 15, 2008 for travel between August 16th and October 31st, 2008. Blackout dates and restrictions apply.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here. So you know what that means? It's Honda clearance time. And if you're into trucks, you are going to love this because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, or the classy CR-V for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back, and I'm knocking.
It might not look pretty, but to someone who's hungry, food classified as second best can be beautiful. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains a new trend for troubled times.
You might not have heard of it. Gleaning, collecting farm field fresh produce not considered good enough for grocery stores. The practice is growing as food banks serve more and more financially squeezed families. Mike Waldman of the Society of St. Andrew, which has gleaning networks in 20 states.
We have 30,000 volunteers a year that go in and simply pick up the good food left behind.
Just in the past 3 months, programs have been established in Arkansas, Indiana, and New Hampshire. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
He was living like a homeless person in a shed on the grounds of a psychiatric hospital north of New York City. In fact, he's the maintenance man earning $100,000 a year. But for 3 years, until he was caught, his home was the shed. He even had his mail delivered there. He's been charged $2,500 in back rent. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
When someone comes in our store with that look in their eye, that I have an idea but I need help look, for me, that's what Sherwin-Williams is all about. That's why I'm here.
Our experts can help bring your ideas to life with incredible colors, the finest paints and stains, and advice you won't find anywhere else. And now, save $7 a gallon on a wide variety of our exceptional paints and stains. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop, and since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got that cyclone fence up and some armed guards here. Just what you'll see at the Democratic and Republican conventions this summer.
Live.
Lines are open to hear from you right now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you're in the middle of the road, the middle of your commute, we'll take your call on that cell phone, too. 888-573-8372. Later this hour, Aldis Tyler returns to our program. He has been single-handedly trying to preserve and sustain progressive talk radio. When problems occurred in Sacramento earlier this year, he was right here to help us. And he actually led the team that saved Progressive Talk in Madison, Wisconsin. And that is the scene of the Nonstop Radio Symposium, which is coming up not this weekend, but the weekend of August 1st. And I'll be there. Stephanie Miller's coming into town. John Nichols, who writes for The Nation and helps lead the charge for media reform at Free Press, is going to be there. Richard Green from Air America, Tom Hartman from Air America, quite a few others. So it's going to be a great weekend. And later this hour, when Aldis joins us, we're going to announce 5 scholarships, because we realize that some of the supporters of Progressive Talk Radio are not millionaires. And if you can get yourself to Madison, Wisconsin starting August 1st, well, we will take care of your registration fee at the Nonstop Radio Symposium. That's what the scholarship is. So think about that, and if you can get yourself to Madison a week from Friday, then feel free to participate. We'll tell you how you can win a scholarship coming up a little bit later this hour. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join in. And it is impeachment week here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We led the day today with Elizabeth Holtzman, who is a Democrat, served 4 terms in Congress, and was front and center during the Nixon impeachment hearings when she sat on the House Judiciary Committee. She will be testifying, along with Dennis Kucinich and others, this Friday before the House Judiciary Committee on Congressman Kucinich's impeachment article. There's one before the committee this week. And Dennis Kucinich will be joining us on the program tomorrow, Wednesday. On Thursday, we have 2 individuals related to the impeachment hearing. Maurice Hinchey is a congressman from New York State. And according to David Swanson, the grassroots leader of this impeachment effort, he is expected to testify in favor of impeachment. But I have not heard him speak up about it publicly before. So we'll talk to the congressman on Thursday. He will lead off our show. And also on Thursday, Bruce Fein, the Republican who served in the Justice Department and at the FCC during the Reagan administration, was part of Ken Starr's impeachment team against Bill Clinton. He has called, even though he's a Republican, for the impeachment of George Bush, and more power to him. So he will be with us on Thursday. At least he is scheduled to join us at that time. So that's what we have in mind, and I appreciate any comments you have about impeachment or the other topics we've been discussing today. You heard Jason Leopold's comments about this resolution that threatens a naval blockade of Iran. Professor Juan Cole talked about how the surge, well, you know, it isn't everything it's cracked up to be in the American media. We also talked about Obama's plans to send more troops to Afghanistan, which gives me pause. You heard 2 plaintiffs out of the 32,000 who sued ExxonMobil over Exxon Valdez spill there in Prince William Sound back in 1989. And that was heartbreaking, I have to say. And I hope you took it to heart as a warning of what can happen if we drop our guard and let drilling occur off the California coastline or in sensitive areas like Anwar. You got to get that oil out. And when you put it on a tanker with a drunk captain, who knows what's going to happen. Interesting error in today's New York Times. And it's not about their rejection of John McCain's op-ed piece. But they have a little column that they fill up with short stories each day about the political campaigns. It's called The Caucus. And their lead story today is about Senator Chuck Grassley of, you know where he's from. Iowa, Nebraska. Iowa, that's where he's from. And the headline reads, Power in Washington, but no vote in Denver. And what it says is that the Republicans don't automatically give every senator a role as a delegate at their convention. And this article goes on to say that Chuck Grassley, a longtime senator in the Republican Party, will not be voting to nominate his colleague John McCain for the presidency at the upcoming Republican National Convention. Only problem is, their convention is in St. Paul, not in Denver. headline writer was asleep at the New York Times. Or perhaps distracted. Who knows? One of the other interesting things I want to ask you about. On television last night, I watched a little part of Chris Matthews' hardball mess. Andrea Mitchell was live from Baghdad. And she was spitting bullets. She was seething. Because just before she came on, Matthews showed some footage of Barack Obama, first in Kuwait, where he sunk about a 30-foot jump shot. And then file footage of him meeting with soldiers in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And Andrea Mitchell was angry because the journalists were not permitted to observe those events following Mr. Obama halfway around the world. And it's quite a contingent. I mean, some of the network anchors are either on the trip with him or they're going to join him there for exclusive interviews. And I have to say, the Obama team is milking this for everything they can. And so far, it's been all positive. Great photo ops, not too much policy, not too much conflict or controversy, and things are kind of rolling Obama's way. But as I heard Andrea Mitchell, and you know who she's married to, right? Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan. So she's wired into the Republican Party. And she's managed to maintain a fair amount of dignity while observing the misdeeds of Bush, Cheney, and the gang. But I just thought it was really odd to hear Andrea Mitchell complaining that the Obama press team has basically kept the press from really close observation of most of the stops so far on this globe-trotting photo op tour. And she may have a valid gripe. I'm not there. I don't have first-hand information. But may I ask you, have you ever heard Andrea Mitchell complain about the techniques used by the Bush administration to manipulate the press, feed them what they want, and keep them away from the stuff they don't want? All those fundraisers that are off-limits to the press for Bush, Cheney, and the gang? These staged town hall meetings for the 04 campaign and then for the failed Social Security reform that Bush was promoting? I mean, this administration has manipulated the press in a way that we all know, and the press won't admit. Because the electronic boys and girls still haven't admitted the New York Times report from now 9 weeks ago, which showed in detail how generals were handpicked by Don Rumsfeld, inserted into the American media, and they kept delivering Rumsfeld's talking points. They were embedded as propagandists. Andrea Mitchell hasn't copped to that. Chris Matthews hasn't copped to that. Oh, no. But Obama goes onto a basketball court and sinks a shot. The press isn't there. And Andrea Mitchell is deeply upset. Tell me what you think of that. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Lines open for you in the free speech zone. Up first, it's Dave in Eureka. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Peter. It had been my hope earlier to bounce my thought off of Representative Holtzman. I didn't call in time, but it's my...
Actually, Dave, I just want to clarify. You did call in time. There was another Dave, and I took his call first, and he used up all the time. I apologize for that.
Oh, well, in any event, maybe she's still listening. But my feeling is that the rich and greedy, the big corporate special interests, they've maneuvered themselves into positions where they're calling the shots in our government and in our media. They've done that. And that includes the question of impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Bush and Cheney are kind of the sugar daddies. They are the darlings of these greedy, deceitful, manipulative, exploitive, very wealthy class. And so the question comes down to who can or who will bite the hand that is feeding them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is a problem for the most part, not just with Republicans, but these blue dog Democrats who are in big numbers with their hands out to these same big special interests. So.
The 21 senators and the 105 House members who voted for these bad FISA amendments, Dave, they got some explaining to do.
Well, it's a simple question. Put enough money in their pocket and they're for sale. You know, America has some of the finest politicians that money can buy, and that's sure true today.
Yeah, it is. All right, Dave, thank you very much. Always great to hear from you. The line's open for you, and I mean you, and I'm looking for some first-time callers today. Don't be shy. Call me now. There'll be a short wait on hold at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Josh is taking your call, so dial in, and we'll talk to you next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A lot going on right now. 183 at Blackie Road. Watch out for a big piece of lumber in the middle of the roadway. Southbound 1, State Park Drive off-ramp in Aptos. Getting first reports of an accident. Looks like two cars blocking that ramp. CHP is on the way. Salinas 68, east of Spreckles Boulevard. We have vehicles swerving to avoid a large object in the roadway. Felton Mount Hermon Road, east of Zianti Road. We have a broken down pickup truck. That's partially blocking some lanes. Reports of an earlier fire Soledad North 101 after Front Street. It was a small one burning off to the shoulder. At this point, fire department should be on the scene taking care of that. Also, Murrieta Road at Indian Spring Road, Salinas, earlier crash vehicle into a mailbox and retaining wall. CHP is on the scene. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Roach season is upon us, Monterey. For maximum protection, don't just call an exterminator. Call the experts at Orkin. Dial 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for your free quote today. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Yeah.
we continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show Free Speech Zone. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Wake up, you're always such a fuzzy young man. Don't want the Captain Crush, don't want no Raisin Brand. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it, just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean up your plate. So eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it.
Oh, you heard that music and you thought MJ was coming on, right?
Eat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried.
Just a little wacky mood on the part of your humble host today. That's Weird Al Yankovic. And eat it. 888-5 Peter B. Join me here in the Free Speech Zone. Ione has from Monterey. Hello, Ione. Hello, are you there? Ione, going once. Ione was on hold for a long time earlier, and then dropped off, and then called back, and now I hear nothing. And Ione had asked the question, will the Kucinich impeachment hearings before the Judiciary Committee be televised? And we'll ask the congressman point blank tomorrow, but I believe that they will be on C-SPAN unless there is action on the Senate floor and the House floor at the same time. Because the way it works, C-SPAN 1, is its first priority is any actual live action on the House floor. C-SPAN 2's designated to cover live action on the Senate floor, and then they go to respective committees. And C-SPAN there, number 3, is there for other things, including kind of backup when the other two channels are busy. So I do expect there to be coverage, but we'll try to confirm that for you, certainly well before Friday. Let's see, I want to call a congresswoman. Zoe Lofgren of San Jose is a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and if she's in attendance, she'll hear the commentary of Congressman Kucinich and be asked to comment on and vote on this article of impeachment that will be debated in the Judiciary Committee this Friday. We're calling her San Jose office. Hello.
Good afternoon, Congressman Zolofgren's office.
Hello, this is Peter B. Collins, and I want to read you your rights. I'm live on my radio show right now.
You are?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Oh, no, you can't be live right now.
Yeah, I am. That's where I work. I'm calling you from my job.
Oh, and where's that?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a radio talk show.
Oh.
So okay. I wanted to ask you about Congresswoman Lofgren's position on impeachment. She'll be in the Judiciary Committee, hopefully on Friday, where they will be discussing, perhaps debating, an article of impeachment presented by Dennis Kucinich.
Yes. Just one moment, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to be transferred, maybe? I don't know. Maybe she's calling security. There's some guy on the phone who says he's on a radio show. Can't believe everybody who calls. So we'll see what's going on. Maybe she's reaching for a higher power. Often what it is that there's a staff person who handles certain issues. And when you call a congressperson's office, they try to connect you to a person who actually knows about a bill. There's often a consultant, for example, who covers the issues of the Judiciary Committee for the congressperson. Hello? We're getting clicks on the line. That's probably just our NSA minder, Benny. Poor guy has to listen all day long. So on Judiciary, some of the other members who are expected to support impeachment include Anthony Weiner, Luis Gutierrez of Chicago, Maxine Waters of Los Angeles, Hank Johnson, Steve Cohen, Keith Ellison, a great guy from Minnesota, Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, she's been on our program, and Robert Wexler, who we talked about regarding the Iran resolution about half an hour ago. Not getting a lot of quick response here from the Lofgren office in San Jose. If you'd like the number for yourself, you can call and inquire. It's 408-271-8700, 408-271-8700, and her capital office is 202-225-3072, 202-225-3072. And in general, I have a high opinion of Congresswoman Lofgren. She does understand the Constitution, and I think supports it on a regular basis. While we're holding here, let me take a quick look. I think she voted the right way on FISA, and I keep this in front of me at all times so that I can refer to it and be sure. And, in fact, she did vote no on the House FISA amendments bill. So she remains in very good standing with me on that basis, I'll tell you that. Doesn't look like we're going to get through to the right staff person here. So I just invite you to follow my example, make a call to members of the Judiciary Committee, and let them know that impeachment is on your table and you'd like it to be on theirs. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I just wanted to let you know that actually our communications director is not here, so I'm going to have to refer the call to that person. What is your number?
It's 888-5-PETER-B.
Okay.
That's 1-888-573-8372.
Great. 8372, and I'll have someone get right back to you.
Okay.
It's probably tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Coming up next, Aldis Tyler wants him to invite you to come to the Nonstop Radio Symposium.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Patty Ross with your real estate update for the Monterey Peninsula for the week of July 21st. Condos, they are actually the best value category right now. Condo prices are always the first to come down when the market turns. All the first-time buyers who want to get their foot in the door with a condo can now buy a house for the same money. But for those who want to downsize, there are great opportunities out there, and here are just a few. The first one is at 34 Spanish Bay Circle in Pebble Beach. This is a three-bedroom, three-and-a-half bath for $2,995,000. This is a private Spanish Bay sanctuary with uncompromising views of the golf course, Pacific Ocean, and beyond. A lush, intimate courtyard leads into the two-story formal entry with soaring ceilings and museum-quality finishes throughout. It's been completely remodeled. The spacious 3,280-square-foot residence has three bedrooms, including two master suites. Its 3,280 square feet feels much more like a house than a condo. It's a really great deal, actually, at $2,995,000. Next, we move over to Del Mesa Carmel. This is at 274, two-bedroom, two-baths for only $789. This is a peaceful cul-de-sac location with beautiful forest and mountain views. You can follow the private park-like entrance past the majestic magnolia tree to this 1,814-square-foot expanded C unit with a separate dining room. The inviting entryway welcomes you into the spacious living room and the expanded family room and den beyond. It's got private forest views from three sides of this lovely home. New carpets and paint. You got to be 55 and older, but lots to do here from lawn bowling to swimming to tennis. Beautifully maintained grounds. Just if you're ready to downsize, this one is it. Next, we move over to 73 Hacienda Carmel in Carmel Valley. This is a two-bedroom, one-bath at just $415. That's my value pick listing of the week. This is a very desirable adult community on the Monterey Peninsula. You can move right into this remodeled unit and enjoy condo living at its finest. The amenities include a pool, library, clubhouse, exercise room, laundry facilities, convenient parking, and walking trails. Everything is new here, from the wonderful cherry wood floors and skylights to the new countertops, appliances, windows, doors. They even added insulation in the master bedroom. Absolute turnkey and priced to sell, 850 square feet on this one. So, if you're interested in any of these fabulous condos, please call me, 236-4513, email me at pattyross@kw.com, or check out these and lots more listings on my website, www.pattyrosscarmel.com.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself. Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
I can't find that on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
Hey, thanks for turning to this station. Every day I'm reminded how much my listeners value Progressive Talk Radio. Not just my program, but the stations that carry this show and that present other progressive programs as well. Some from Air America, some independent like mine, some from the Jones Network, which includes Ed Schultz, Stephanie Miller, and Bill Press. And there is a symposium a week from Friday, starts August 1st, in Madison, Wisconsin. I want to invite you to attend the Nonstop Radio Symposium. It's going to be at the Exhibit Hall at the Alliant Energy Center in one of the great liberal enclaves in America, Madison, Wisconsin. When I went to school in Chicago, we used to go to Madison to party. And it's a good town for that. Party is a verb in Madison. And Madison has a number of great people there. John Nichols, who is a great supporter of this program. He writes for The Nation. He also writes for the Capital Times newspaper there. He's their editorial page editor. And he's a leader in the media reform movement in this country as a co-founder of Free Press. We were at his conference in Minneapolis back in June. And he's there in Madison, and so is Matthew Rothschild at the Progressive. And Matthew and I have a couple of policy disagreements here and there, but he's a great guy and a real progressive who runs a great publication, a website, and Matthew is a radio guy, too. He's got a radio feature and a weekly radio program, all based around the name The Progressive. And we're going to gather with Rachel Maddow, Stephanie Miller, Richard Green, Tom Hartman, and others who are very committed to progressive talk radio. And we want to invite you to join us. We're trying to reach Aldous right now, and he's probably knee-deep in the last-minute preparations for the event. And I'm sure he'll dial us up here in a couple of minutes. But he has authorized me to give away 5 free passes. We're calling them scholarships to the Nonstop Radio Symposium. And I want to be clear, this is a first-year event, and if we could put together airline packages and send you all the way for free, we'd do it. But it's an important gesture on the part of Aldous and the Nonstop Radio team, because they would like to include people who don't necessarily have a boatload of money. Progressive Talk Radio does reach out to a lot of people who are struggling. Hey, and some of the hosts are struggling too. Let me just be honest with you. These are difficult times. And so if you are interested, and you can get yourself to Madison, Wisconsin, sometime between August 1st and 3rd, I would like to award you a scholarship, a free pass, to the conference. And all you have to do is send me an email. My email address is simple. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. And the first 5 people who tell me they can get to Madison and they'd like to attend the Nonstop Radio Progressive Talk Symposium, you'll win. It's that easy. And I would invite you to email me right away, even if it takes you a little time to work on travel plans. I understand that. And what we'll do is give you 48 hours from right now to firm up travel plans. And if you're unable to travel there and you can't use the scholarship, then we'll give it to somebody else who sends an email. So the first five will likely win, but if one of those five isn't able to make the trip, then we'll select number 6, 7, 8. You get it, right? And you don't have to write an essay or answer a trick question or stand on your head. But if you want to tell us a little bit about why Progressive Talk Radio is meaningful to you and why you care about it and you'd like to attend this conference so that you can understand how it works and how we might better sustain it, that's what I'm looking for. So drop me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com, and tell me you'd like to attend the Nonstop Radio Symposium. Again, it's in Madison, Wisconsin, August 1st through 3rd. You can get all the details at nonstopradio.com. That's easy, isn't it? Nonstopradio.com. And, well, we haven't been able to find Aldous, so if he calls in, we'll certainly talk with him, but I want to reopen the switchboard here and welcome your calls on any subject here. You can talk about Progressive Talk, tell me who your favorite host is. Maybe there's somebody you don't care for. You can tell me that, too. I generally don't criticize other hosts because I just feel we're so lucky to have a range of people to choose from. Back in 2003, in 2004 was when I had a show called All American Talk Radio. It was on Sirius Satellite Radio. And after the Democrats lost in November, we pulled the show, mostly for business reasons. And at that time, you know, we were really waiting for Air America to take hold. Air America came on the scene in 2003. And it's been uneven. There's just no doubt about it. If you go to nonstopradio.com, for example, you'll see some of the recent gains. Columbus, Ohio, returned a Progressive Talk station to the air earlier this year. In Dallas, Texas, just after the 4th of July, they launched a new Progressive Talk station. And while I can't tell you explicitly what cities, there are two top 20 markets, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast, where people are actively working to bring Progressive Talk back onto the radio. It was there, and then for various reasons, the station owners dropped it. But we're seeing, you know, a little bit of positive momentum here in 2008. And some of the things we'll be talking about in Madison include the challenges that we face, the dominance of conservatives in this medium. Yep, they outnumber us 9-1. And as you've seen in recent weeks, Sean Hannity, who has a real problem telling the truth on his radio talk show, he was just rewarded with a 5-year, $100 million contract, and that's just for radio. He still gets a check from Rupert Murdoch for that mess he has on television called Hannity and Combs. And Limbaugh just re-signed 10 years, $400 million. The radio station owners know that if they put on a Limbaugh, a Hannity, or even some of the second-level clones of those guys, that they can make a lot of money. And that's one of the things that we have to confront, because Progressive Talk has a strong appeal, and the listeners who find it and who love it support it very devoutly, very loyally. But we have to find a way to turn this into a very profitable business. And we have to give the suits who run radio stations a real choice, meaning that they could actually drop Sean Hannity and put on Peter B. Collins and expect to make the same amount of money or more. Yes, it is about profits. Yes, it is about ratings. It is a business. And so these are the things that we'll be focused on, and I would really appreciate it if some of our listeners, the consumers of this product, the people who directly and indirectly support this business, are there to speak up and represent their point of view. So I want to encourage you to send me an email if you are able to travel to Madison, Wisconsin next weekend, August 1st, and you could be one of the recipients of one of these scholarships to the Nonstop Radio Symposium. Now, as long as we're talking about talk radio, I want to take a minute here to describe the latest slime coming from the man who calls himself Michael Savage. And it's embarrassing for me that he originates from the same fine city of San Francisco as I do. It's quite an anomaly. On July 16th, he made a series of comments in a rant about children with autism. And he went way over the line. He said autism is a fraud. It's a racket. He said 99% of the people are faking. Now, let me read this to you verbatim. And if you go to MediaMatters.org, you can see it for yourself. And I will resist the temptation to try to mimic or mock Michael Savage. Oh, it looks like we have an audio clip here. That's even better than having me read it, isn't it? Let's see if this will play for us.
It is the Savage Nation. The autism controversy is very important because true autism is extremely heartbreaking. I have devoted my entire life, even as a child, to defending the helpless, mainly the helpless children, because of a tragedy in my own family. And it's ironic that people who hate families and children, a group called Media Matters, filled with anti-family individuals who
listen
do not marry their men like men, would take out of context comments that I made last week directed at the misdiagnosed, the falsely diagnosed, and the outright fakers in the autism field, and try to make you, the parents of the truly autistic, attack me.
So that's a response clip. Here's what he originally said. Now, the illness du jour is autism. You know what autism is? I'll tell you what autism is. In 99% of the cases, it's a brat who hasn't been told to cut the act out. That's what autism is. What do you mean they scream and they're silent? They don't have a father around to tell them, don't act like a moron. You'll get nowhere in life. Stop acting like a putz. Straighten up. Act like a man. Don't sit there crying and screaming, idiot. Savage rants on. Autism. Everybody has an illness. If I behaved like a fool, my father called me a fool, and he said to me, don't behave like a fool. The worst thing he said, don't behave like a fool, don't be anybody's dummy. Don't sound like an idiot, don't act like a girl, don't cry. That's what I was raised with, that's what you should raise your children with. Stop with the sensitivity training. You're turning your son into a girl, you're turning your nation into a nation of losers and beaten men. That's why we have the politicians we have. So then he goes on to try to double down. He wants to claim that he's been misquoted. Or maybe it was mistranslated from the original Brooklyn accent. And he wants to blame Media Matters. He says they're filled with anti-family individuals who do not marry. They're men who like men. Well, that's a swipe at David Brock. He's gay. They would take out of context comments that I made last week directed at the misdiagnosed, the falsely diagnosed, and the outright fakers in the autism field and try to make you, the parents of the truly autistic, attack me. Huh. So after a screed that can only be described as irrational and unfounded, and after he's called out on it by Media Matters, he doesn't apologize. He doesn't explain. He attacks Media Matters. Those are the marks of a coward and a bully. And fortunately, Aflac, the insurance company, has announced that they're dropping their advertising from the Savage Radio program. I hope others will follow suit, and I hope you'll encourage them to do that. Read all about it at MediaMatters.org. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A lot going on right now. 183 at Blackie Road. Watch out for a big piece of lumber in the middle of the roadway. Southbound 1, State Park Drive off-ramp in Aptos. Getting first reports of an accident. Looks like two cars blocking that ramp. CHP is on the way. Salinas 68, east of Spreckles Boulevard. We have vehicles swerving to avoid a large object in the roadway. Felton, Mount Hermon Road, east of Zianti Road. We have a broken down pickup truck. That's partially blocking some lanes. Reports of an earlier fire. Soledad, North 101 after Front Street. It was a small one burning off to the shoulder. At this point, fire department should be on the scene taking care of that. Also, Murrieta Road at Indian Spring Road, Salinas, earlier crash vehicle into a mailbox and retaining wall. CHP is on the scene. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Roach season is upon us, Monterey. For maximum protection, don't just call an exterminator. Call the experts at Orkin. Dial 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for your free quote today. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch. How can you miss me if I won't go away? Oh, that was quick. Chris and Salinas, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi.
Hi, Peter. I was wondering, how does progressive radio progress? And basically there's a blacklist of corporations to, you know, to not sponsor progressive talk radio. And one other question to you is, these contracts with Rush Limbaugh and Hannity, these got to be payola, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, this is got to be a pay, you know, a pay to get a message out to keep the corporations in basic power.
Well, first of all, you were asking about the blacklist, and
right.
I actually obtained a copy of one from the ABC networks a couple of years ago and exposed it, and it was how I got my name in the New York Times for the first time ever. And it is a continuing and perplexing problem that we see things like Michael Savage, and this attack on autistic people is as low as Rush Limbaugh's attack on Michael J. Fox for Parkinson's a couple of years ago when he claimed he was faking. And there's no consequence for the tasteless and ill-informed, if not intentionally false, statements of these rather influential people. And the system rewards them with excessive compensation because the system values the corporate messages that they deliver. And, it's interesting that it took this autism attack for Aflac, which is what, a health insurance company?
Yes.
To drop its support of the Savage Show. And you have to ask, well, gosh, what intolerant remarks that he's made in the past were insufficient to cause them to think about that? And when you compare what happens, let's leave me out of it. Let's take Tom Hartman, all right? Tom is a very responsible broadcaster. He won't even let a caller criticize a guest who was on the hour before because that person isn't there to defend him or herself, all right? Those are the standards that Tom adheres to. And yet the corporate sponsors that are willing to put their paid messages on with Hannity and Limbaugh and the others say, oh, Tom Hartman's too controversial because he's critical of the Bush administration and he's somewhere left of the far right. And this is an issue we've got to grapple with and contend with. And part of it is starting to shift with the fortunes of the Democratic Party, where you see, and not all of this is happy news, okay, but, for example, the banks, the insurance companies, the telecoms, the everybody that gave 80% of their money to Republicans 4 years ago is giving the majority of their money to Democrats this year. Some of that is insurance. Some of that will buy them protection. But hopefully we can see a shift in the trend and get the pendulum to swing enough that these corporate sponsors will see that progressive talk is responsible. It's not excessively controversial. We don't take pot shots at helpless people. And that they can benefit by advertising on these programs and that they will not suffer by association with us. So that's the challenge we face, and it's one of the things we're going to be discussing in Madison.
How about these contracts, though, with Hannity and Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, these guys, a station like Hal has here, KRXA, he couldn't pony up money to be able to pay for Rush Limbaugh's $400 million contract.
It's all based on the national advertising. When you have a show that's on in 600 markets like Limbaugh's, the national advertisers, supported by default, except a few that have standards, and they make a boatload of money.
Yeah, if they ran your show, on all 600 stations, yours or Tom's or whoever's show,
mm-hmm.
right after or right before Limbaugh's, and all the 600 of these stations, I truly believe, that they would either match or they would exceed expectations,
mm-hmm.
but they're not given that chance because they don't want this message to get out.
Yeah. Gotcha, Chris. Thanks a lot. I want to talk to Billy now. Billy's in Capitola. Hey, Billy.
I felt a little let down by your reading of the Savage thing. As a broadcaster, I thought you should at least try to do Savage, the angry. you made it sound sort of reasonable. That was ridiculous.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought that if I attempt to mimic him, I come off sounding as snarky as Limbaugh when he tries to mimic Jesse Jackson.
Well, of course, you're right about that. So isn't that the problem?
Now, Billy, let me ask you. You want to try to mimic Savage? You might actually be able to do better than me.
I sort of do. My act is sort of like that. I try to do on the left. I try to be, and that's what's so hard. I really try to be as nasty and mean-spirited as Savage,
But because I am a liberal, I can't quite, I'm not a good enough, and I'm not a great actor, I can't quite get there.
I mean, you and I, no matter what we try to do, we could take, you know, a gallon of OxyContin every day, and we wouldn't find it in ourselves to say, hey, let's pick on autistic people today. Well, that ought to jack up the ratings.
The fact is that who do we attack? Who do we go after? We go after corporate values that are askew. You know, we go after the big institutions that need taking down, and they go after the weak, and that's what the bully and his friends like.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it interesting, the people who act most like bullies on the air are the ones, you know, Hannity, Limbaugh, the idiot on Fox.
Yep.
And by the way, you know, you hang around with Nazis and KKK people. Don't you support these roots types?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Shame.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's totally upside down and backwards. I've lost my ability to believe that the things will ever be normal again.
Yeah. Yeah, it is difficult, Billy. It really is. We're in a twisted era, and it's getting worse. Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you today. And by the way, Glenn Beck sat in for Larry King and booted Ed Schultz off the guest lineup last night. Tacky, wouldn't you say?
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Our website's under a remodel, but you can grab a podcast. The link's right there on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Who cares about the cloud?
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Dolly is now a minimal hurricane, but a hurricane nonetheless as it moves closer to the Gulf Coast at the Texas-Mexico border. CBS Early Show weatherman Dave Price in Corpus Christi says landfall is expected tomorrow afternoon or evening.
Most of the people in South Texas are hardened veterans of hurricanes. But what people have learned post-Katrina is it's always better to be prepared. A Category 1 to most of these people means that it's going to be a heavy rainstorm and there are going to be high winds.
In fact, forecasters say Dolly could produce up to 20 inches of rain in some places. Everybody seems to be preparing for the worst. We talked with William Garza at the La Quinta Inn in Brownsville.
You go to all the Walmart, Home Depots, and, you know, the supermarkets are all just flooded with people getting merchandise.
Mexican officials say they're evacuating 23,000 people from low-lying coastal areas. The raid on that polygamous compound in Texas has resulted in criminal indictments now. Christian Bove of CBS radio affiliate KTSA says Warren Jeffs and five followers have been indicted by a grand jury in El Dorado.
In total, there are seven indictments, including nine counts of sexual assault, bigamy, several other charges. Warren Jeffs himself is the sex leader. He's been charged with sexually assaulting a child, which is a first-degree felony.
Jeffs is jailed in Arizona, awaiting trial there on charges involving the marriage of underage girls. In Utah, he's already been convicted as an accomplice to rape. Estelle Getty has died. She starred as Sophia in the hit TV show The Golden Girls.
I never get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. I go in the morning. Every morning, like clockwork, at 7 a.m., I pee. Unfortunately, I don't wake up till 8.
She was 84. Her son, Carl Gettleman, says the secret of her success was being relatable.
She had that archetypal mother thing about her. She just had that thing that every mother understands.
And people from everywhere, everywhere in the world, they knew somebody like my mom.
Getty won two Emmys for her performances. In recent years, she'd been afflicted with dementia. There's something good to be said about these high gasoline prices. They made it